So Lord, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings, which remind us that you too call us and send us out to have authority over the works of the enemy and to bring your healing, mercy, and love to the people around us. So help us not to be intimidated, but to feel that authority through the gift, the first installment of our inheritance, the Holy Spirit that you've given us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning. So today I'd like to continue my series on the Eucharist. I'm doing a few weekends where I'm just trying to take some time out to reflect on the wonderful gift of the Eucharist and why it's so important to us and how we can more effectively participate and be transformed by it. And as I was prayerfully reading over the scripture readings for this weekend, it was actually very easy to come up with ways that the scriptures talk about what God intends to do each and every time we gather to celebrate the Mass, because it's the most important thing we do is celebrating the Eucharist. And from the very beginning of the church until Jesus comes again, Paul says, you know, every time you do this, you proclaim the death and resurrection of the Lord until he comes again in glory. So we want to be faithfully being more drawn into this gift and able to live it out in the way we live our lives each day. So there's three things that came to me through the three readings, and it's the renewal through the Eucharist. And the first is the renewal of the new covenant. We know in the book of Exodus, I believe it's chapter 11, when the Passover occurred, that, you know, the angel of death passed over the houses of those who were marked with the blood of the Lamb. So they were marked the lintels or the side posts of the doors with the blood of the Lamb, and that was a sign that they were claimed by God, and the angel of death would pass over, and death would not affect their households and families. And so on the night before he died, Jesus, on the night of Passover, instituted himself as the new Passover Lamb. And so he told his disciples, you know, do this until he comes again in glory. So we've been doing that. And because we receive the body and blood of Christ, then we are marked. And the angel of death will pass over us. We will not experience a final death. It will be a transition to everlasting life with the Lord. And that's good news. So Paul is celebrating that in the second reading. And here's St. Paul, who was obsessed with observing the law, very zealous about that. You know, I have to do this, I have to follow this, I have to check all these boxes and observe all these things that God has given us in the Old Testament. And then he has this revolutionary encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden he just says, you know, that's really not what it's all about. It's about celebrating God's intervention, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to save it and not condemn it. And then he says in Galatians 2:20, the Son of Man loved me and died for me, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And then in this first chapter of Ephesians, the second reading, he's reflecting on how we were predestined before the beginning of time for this wonderful plan of God. And it's not something you can earn. It's just something you can be grateful for and celebrate. And then it gets even better. The Holy Spirit's the first installment of our salvation or of our inheritance. And so he wants us to understand the depths and the nature of God's love, and that we believe as Christians, and this is what we celebrate, that, you know, we have to cooperate with God's grace, and he's given us all kinds of talents and things that we can do, and we can build things and send people to the moon, and now they're racing to see who gets there first and go into space and so forth. But we still believe that the ultimate salvation of the world is something that we can't accomplish on our own. It's something that God has to do, that God is going to come back again, and all evil will be destroyed and all enemies will be put under Jesus' feet. So when we celebrate the Mass every Sunday, that's what we're proclaiming. It's not that we're just going to sit back and let everything work itself out and not participate, but we believe that it's God's intervention that will bring about the ultimate redemption of the world. And so that's what we celebrate, the new covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus, every time we come together for the celebration of the Mass. The second thing is the renewal of our identity, and this is the gospel. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. And so every time we come to Mass, God wants to empower us. And Augustine said, St. Augustine, you know, become what you receive. And that was his prayer when he would receive Holy Communion. Lord, help me to be your presence in the world around us. Your hands, your feet, your eyes, your voice for the world around us. And so he wants to give us that authority. And I remember once I was having a very difficult situation in my parish school. And I was doing daily Mass, and I was getting all kinds of hateful emails and voicemails, you know, church folk being nasty, which can happen sometimes. And I was so stressed out that I was actually worried that I was going to celebrate my first invalid Mass, that I would actually forget to say something I was supposed to say or do something I was supposed to do. I was just so stressed out with what was happening, and the situation just looked impossible, and it was just going from worse to worse. And as I went to go put communion on my tongue and receive the host, the Lord just broke through and basically said something to me like this. You know, you're so preoccupied with your problems, you're not focusing on me. You're like Peter, you know, you're looking at the waves and not keeping your eyes fixed on me. You're about to receive me in Holy Communion. I'm with you. I will help you through the situation. You need to trust in me and understand what you're doing. You're about to receive me in Holy Communion. And I tell you, I left that Mass very different than when I entered it. I was in a very different place. The things didn't get better right away. That's often how it works. Sometimes things get worse before they get better. But I had confidence that I could get through the day and that God was going to start guiding me and helping me through this difficult moment. And I believe He wants to do the same thing for all of us as we come forward for communion. You all have problems in your life. I bet I could sit for hours and talk with you about them. Life is just difficult, right? And things happen that we don't understand, and we're trying to heal and do things and operate. But God wants to strengthen you and your inner self through the gift of Holy Communion. And that's why I love the fact that before we come up, we say, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter into my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. So what is it in our life that's burdening us down right now that needs healing? And really believe that God wants to break through and stop looking at the waves and look at Jesus, right? That was an amazing day for me. And I'm not good at multitasking, so He knows that. So He just broke right through as that was happening as I was receiving communion. So He wants to give us that authority in our daily lives, and as we go out to be confident, to walk as children of God in a spirit of confidence and not fear. The last thing has to do with the first reading, with the prophet Amos, and that is that we always celebrate the Eucharist in the context of community. It's never just me and Jesus, it's we and Jesus. And somebody once gave a brilliant teaching about how there's two beams to the cross. There's the horizontal beam and the vertical beam. And so we have our own relationship with God, the way He knows us. We pray, we communicate with Him, we listen to Him. But it's always lived out on the horizontal beam. So it's like 1 John 4, you can't say, I love God, but I hate my brothers and sisters. Houston, we have a problem, I always say, if that's our way of thinking. So the Eucharist is always receiving this gift from Jesus in the context of being available to others. So we examine our relationship with other people as we come forward for Holy Communion. And we're all called to be like Amos, to be sent out as a prophet, as a credible witness to God, that we know God's love and mercy and we can share it credibly with other people. And he didn't get a good reaction. Go away, prophesy somewhere else. We don't want you here. Sometimes that's the reaction we get too. I've had that happen, not in this parish, of course, but in other parishes and other situations, people don't want to hear the truth. You know, they don't want to hear about God, and that if we don't return to God, we're going to have a very unpeaceful society and a lot of chaos and disorder in our families and so forth. They'll try everything except returning to God. So we have to stand as a credible witness that God still loves the world and wants to save it. And you know, it's funny, I was with my family yesterday, we were on the waterfront, and it's really neat because everything's opening back up. People are walking all around and taking pictures, and I had my little gimbal, I'm trying not to trip over people. And as we're going back up the hill to go to the tunnel to take the light rail back to Tukwila Station, I started shifting gears because I was trying to get ready for Mass last night. So I'm like, okay, what am I going to say? You went over this. And I started thinking about how there are very few signs. Where is God's presence in this society? And we're walking around and people are milling everywhere. And then all of a sudden, a few minutes later, two ladies walk down the street with two signs. And God has a great sense of humor. And one basically said, you know, repent or go to hell. That's nice. And then the other one had a sign that said, Jesus loves you. So I was thinking about how, you know, I'm not sure that's the best way to evangelize, you know, but they're making their effort at least, and there was some sign of somebody trying to do something. But I kind of thought it was funny, repent or go to hell, and Jesus loves you. So anyways, we want to make sure that we're doing things in our daily lives that can help people understand the relevance of our faith. I think the world we're living in now, just people just don't think it's relevant. It doesn't make any difference. It's all about us and what we can do. And that's where the Eucharist can help us say, no, it's all about God and what God can do through us. Amen? What God can do through us. So we'll just say a little prayer that we grow into a deeper love for the Eucharist and the ability to live it. Lord, we thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son to rescue us from the slavery of sin and to give us this wonderful gift of the Eucharist. And may we never receive it in vain, but always be striving to live it out and to do what we can to usher in your kingdom of light against the kingdom of darkness. And we just pray for all the people who may be confused and don't understand why they're here or just having great difficulties in their life right now, that we can be a sign of hope for them through our words and actions. And we thank you for the love you show us each and every time we gather together as the people of God. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.